You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
Well, I want to talk with you about this war on police because it's just getting worse and worse every single day.
It's definitely getting worse. And I am incredulous at what our lawmakers are doing and that we have voted these people in and they are taking the steps that they're taking.
Well, you know, we didn't vote the ones that are making the decisions in right now. Those people politically, and this becomes an entire political issue. So I think we have to talk about the politics. We certainly can't ignore it. These people are not Republicans, nor are they conservatives. These people are liberal and more leaning far to the left. And I'm scared for this country.
I'm also scared for this country, and I'm really worried about what people are going to do when they need an officer. Are they going to call a social worker? Are they going to, I don't know who they're going to call, because things happen in a split second, Ron. And when things are going down very rapidly, you either need somebody's help or you need somebody on the way that can handle the problem, or people are going to take the law into their own hands.
As you know, I've done this for, you know, like 30 years, defending law enforcement officers and also defending, you know, people of color in civil rights violations, wrongful death cases, excessive force cases. But I have to tell you that almost universally, all of the cases that I see are not elongated. The incidents themselves are not elongated. That's sort of a rare thing. Most things happen, like you said, within seconds or split seconds, in the worst possible conditions that you can think of, under dealing with some of the worst people that you can think of, and in the dark and under extremely stressful situations. And I have to tell you, when I go to court and later on I listen to jurors, or I'm talking in front of jurors, or I'm being deposed by attorneys and questioned by attorneys on the stand, the expectations, first of all, the ignorance of what police do for a living, number one, the outright ignorance, number one, and number two, the ridiculous expectations that the public has of our police officers, our men and women in uniform, is astounding.
You know, you're absolutely right. And if you think about this current situation, with all of these cities dismantling, defunding, criticizing our police officers, came from one guy doing something very bad. Okay, one guy. When you look at the hundreds of thousands of officers around the country and the job that they do, and you take one incident and you completely change policing in this country, that leaves me speechless, and it should leave every American speechless. The only people that are proponents of what is being done are the criminals. And I think I asked you this, but did you see the video of the guy knocking down the older lady in New York and taking her purse?
I did. I want to talk about that in a little bit, but I will just say that is a clear, objective symptom of what is happening in our communities once you do what Black Lives Matter wants to do in their Campaign Zero and also in their 4D program, of which you talked about three of the 4Ds, right? So number one is disenfranchise, and number two is distance. And then you talked about defunding and dissolving. And this is what happens when you don't have police officers on the street, or you're having zero bail and releasing criminals back out on the street time and time again. This is the end result of that.
Who will we call? Who will people call? And this is very disturbing. America should be really just outright very vocal about this. And I'm not hearing it. All I'm hearing is the protesters being outright vocal. Let's just take the situation in Seattle, Ron, where they're now dismantling CHOP, right? Oh, their experiment didn't work, did it? They kicked the police out, and what happened? It immediately devolved into violence where two young men were killed, a 16-year-old and a 19-year-old.
And other people were shot and injured. And don't forget about the businesses that were looted and burned and the vandalism.
Absolutely.
All of that.
And this is what we want around the entire country. This is what New York wants. New York, who has a huge increase in crime, in violent crime, in murders, stabbings, shootings, arson, you name the crime, they have a huge increase in it. And what is their answer to that?
They're going to defund $1 billion. I think it's actually more than $1 billion, but $1 billion from the New York City Police Department budget, which I think is about 15% of their overall budget. And let's keep in mind.
Oh, no, it's more like, is it 15%? It's more than that.
But you know, people have to remember that the New York City Police Department, with around 40,000 uniformed officers and detectives, is the largest police agency in the world and serves one of the largest urban communities in the world. And look what's happening now. Did you see where their protesters are moving? I think it's into Central Park. And what do you want to bet they try to create an autonomous zone in the middle of Manhattan? In Central Park. What do you think? Because the cops aren't going in there. They're letting the protesters go into Central Park, and then they're staying on the perimeter. What do you think is going to happen inside Central Park once those protesters set up shop inside Central Park in the middle of downtown Manhattan?
Well, a number of things. First of all, a complete health situation. Secondly, you already have a tent city developing.
Huge tent city.
Yeah. Third, and trash and, you know, feces and oh my gosh, I can't even imagine. And this is just, what's happening is just so horrible. Here you have a mayor, de Blasio, probably the worst mayor in the country, whose wife says that having no police would be her version of nirvana. I mean, come on. Let's see what kind of nirvana she gets here.
Well, take a look at, you know, going back to Seattle and then compare and contrast it to New York, because it's the same paradigm as far as the same model as far as I'm concerned. So Mayor, was her name Durkin?
Yes.
In Seattle, she was trying to mitigate this whole thing by calling CHOP our summer of love. It's probably going to be a summer of love. And obviously, you know, that utopian experiment didn't work. And so now they have to go in. But guess what? She caused, you know, when everybody's talking about de-escalation, police need to de-escalate. People who are ignorant, placating politicians, Lynn, they can cause an escalation in the police response. Don't you agree? An escalation. Because now the cops have got to go in there when they could have done it earlier with far less police presence and uses of force. Now they've got to go in there, now wearing heavy riot gear, and now they're going to go back and use chemical munitions and all of this stuff, all the stuff that the mayor and probably the people in the city council, leftist-leaning city council in Seattle, didn't want the police to do. Now they are the people that directly caused the police to have to escalate in their police actions.
Well, you're absolutely right, but they also put up with situations where citizens were doing the same activities that police would do, that police are not even allowed to do anymore, stop and frisk, those types of things, not letting people into their homes, into their shops, not letting people into that area. I mean, we had anarchist civilians taking over this community, and, you know, the poor people, the poor shop owners, the poor residents, they were terrified in there, and you listen to their accounts of what was going on. I mean, how do we even allow this and think that this is something better? Again, and I've said it before, and you've said it, and I'll say it again, the governor, the mayor, the police chief in Seattle are completely impotent as leaders. They need to be voted out. You need to get people that are strong. I'm going to go back to my original thought. Who are people going to call for help? Because crime, as you defund the police, you decrease police departments. And by the way, how many police are leaving their jobs now? They're taking early retirement. They're transferring. They're getting out of police work. A huge number. So now who do you call? How long is it going to take somebody to get to you when somebody is trying to strong arm their way into your home?
You know, I read a very recent statistic that was in Law and Order magazine. I just read it yesterday, that Caliber Press, which is an organization that I've actually trained for before, and they do police training and they produce, you know, books and things like that. It's not an organization, it's a company. And they just recently did a survey with 10,000 police officers across the country. That's a lot. 10,000? It's probably the biggest poll that anybody's done on anything in recent memory, including political polls. And they found that only 7% out of 100, so 93% of officers that were polled, would encourage someone to get into the field of law enforcement. And then there was a huge percentage of people that said, I'm putting in my papers for retirement ASAP. Some other people said, hey, I'm just a couple or 3 or 4 years from retirement. I can't go anywhere. But as soon as I reach my retirement age, I'm pulling out. And when you defund the police, one of the first places that gets defunded, and you and I have talked about this, is training. The next thing is recruitment. So, and I can see where you're not going to have a lot of money for recruitment because who's going to want to come into police work? But that begs the next question. So what, once law enforcement is defunded and once training is defunded and once recruitment is defunded, then what does the new model look like? Like you're saying, who are they going to call? So, you know, some of it is the new model that they're presenting is, you know, I think we need to get some mental health workers in there and social workers in there to respond to some of these calls for service. Well, I don't have a problem if they are a component of the response team, but sending people in there with a modicum of training, that's going to be very risky. And I think people are going to, on both sides, both the citizens and the social workers and the mental health professionals, I think we're going to see injuries and deaths, the unintended consequences.
Well, for me, as an American citizen, I don't want to see a social worker coming out if I call the police. I want to see somebody who can kick butt and take names and take care of the problem. That's what I want to see. And I don't mean excessive force. I mean, we have gone so overboard on this excessive force thing. People need to look at the actual facts and figures. It does not exist in the way that the news media and Black Lives Matter is saying it exists. It does not. Police officers are highly trained. They go through a police academy, which is very intensive. I've been through the police academy. You've been through the police academy. You understand how intensive that training is. And they continue to have training every year of their
because they're
career.
Mandated for their certification.
Yes. Yeah. So who now is going to train these people that are going to go out on calls? Who's going to train them? And Ron, have you ever seen a call for service that didn't seem like anything that turned violent?
Oh, all the time. And I'm glad you brought that up because anybody that's ever been on this job, and of course we've both been on the job, we know that those things can turn on you in an instant. You know, I've worked a couple of cases, more than a couple of cases, that ended up in officer-involved shootings, including fatal shootings, where the initial contact between the officer and the citizen, be it a car stop, be it a person stop, or just going out to a house, started out as just being very, very low grade. You know, in other words, nothing serious. Maybe a little bit of suspicious circumstances, or maybe started out as maybe a medical response and ended up in an officer involved shooting when the officer never anticipated it.
Well, and two of the most deadly things an officer can do is a car stop and a domestic violence situation
or a mental health situation.
Or a mental health situation. all three of which can devolve in a split second. So if you have a domestic violence situation or a mental health situation, you're going to send a social worker, an unarmed social worker. And what happens when that armed person decides that they want to take on that person? This is a disaster for society. And we are falling into being guilted into believing that America is racist, and therefore we need to take all of these steps. And that, to me, is such a false narrative, that America has not been a racist country, I feel, for a very long time. Are there people that are racist? Of course, on all sides, okay? But we are being guilted and told that we are this. The white people are being demonized for being white. It's smoke and mirrors here, Ron, and it's done to do exactly what it's accomplishing, is to get our politicians running scared from the minority of people, where why don't we ask the majority of people in this country if they want their police departments defunded?
Part of the problem is, as you know, the silent majority. And that was a term that was developed during the Nixon era, the silent majority. The majority is silent. And the people, and what the people on the left, what the Black Lives Matter people, the Antifa, the anarchists, the Occupy people, the revolutionaries, the militants, what they've all learned is to band together for a particular cause, for a particular objective, and be extremely vocal and be increasingly violent, because that gets the ink, that gets the clicks, the analytics from the media that feeds the flames that ignites the powder keg. And so, you know, when we come back, I want to talk with you about that dynamic and continue our conversation that America is in serious trouble. Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com. DrRonMartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice.
You know, Ron, on AmericaOutloud.com, there are lots of articles written by, the most amazing people. And right now, there are amazing articles up on the front page of America Out Loud. And once they move off the front page, they are there forever, so they can all be looked up under the author. You wrote an article that is out right now that is just amazing, called The Disunited States of America. And, you know, there are so many points in it that are so interesting and so true that I think it's really worth a read by people to understand kind of what is going on right now in America.
Yeah, you know, it's an opinion piece, but it's a factual piece, right? So it's fact-based opinion, which is what I do. All right. And it's a little bit, you know, full disclosure, it's about 3,000 words. So it takes about 5 minutes to read it. But I think it's 5 minutes of time well spent.
Yeah. Well, and one thing that was really interesting in the article is that you put 12 barometers of trouble and an approaching storm. And I want to talk about those a little bit because, you know, we are definitely in a funnel cloud here right now.
We're sort of in a downward spiral, and I know we're kind of laughing about it, but I think it's a laugh that is born in frustration and also concern about the direction that this country seems to be taking, which is not the direction that you and I ever planned our nation to be taking. We always thought that our nation would be more successful as we moved on in our later years of life. And it seems like now we're in retrograde.
Yeah, I mean, this is something I really never would have expected. And it's been a double and triple whammy on the American people. It's been that this whole 4 years with President Trump being, you know, constantly in litigation with the Congress and the Senate. I mean, just we never had a break. And I think back to the things that we've talked about a lot, and it's all been about President Trump and the impeachment efforts and the dishonesty of the accusations. And I mean, one after the other after the other. So we didn't really get any rest there. And then COVID comes along and, I mean, demolishes our entire economy. I know as a business owner, you know as a business owner, how much this has hurt. And quite honestly, you know, with a lot of businesses, they're not ever going to recover. And a lot of people are already closing their doors. And now we have kind of this second wave. So there's so many things going on. And then on top of that, you have this officer who, you know, kills George Floyd. And now the country is completely in chaos. And you have Black Lives Matter rising up along with numerous far left people and anarchists. So we have just created a mess in this country. So your 12 points are so well taken. I want you to talk about them.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the first one. So one of the problems that I think we're seeing is, and it's extremely troublesome, is that our Congress and our Senate keep canceling each other out. So whatever legislation comes forward, it goes immediately to the Congress, and it's formed in the Congress. So legislation is formed in the Congress, and it's either ratified or it's vetoed in a vote with the Senate, with, of course, the President of the United States having, you know, the final veto power, and then they can vote back against. But, and a great example, you know, we spent the first part of our conversation discussing the issues of police, and police reform is a big topic of discussion right now. And so the Senate, which has a Republican majority, they put forth a police reform bill, and it was immediately struck down by the Congress. So wait a minute, don't we want police reform? Well, the Congress apparently doesn't want reform. So what they did, and I think it's because they didn't think of it, they voted it down. And their excuse for voting it down, at least from what I'm understanding, is that it didn't go far enough. Okay, that's fine. But it did take positive steps forward to initiate some semblance of police reform. Let's vote on that. Let's get that measure voted on and enacted and engaged. And then you guys want to come up with something else, meaning the Congress, which is Democratic controlled. You want to come up with something, then, you know, take your shot, and then let's have the Senate look at it, and maybe we can have some bipartisan support.
Well, it's even a little bit worse than that, because Tim Scott, who's the only Black Republican senator, he created this bill, and he asked the Democrats in Congress to come to the table and, you know, what do they want to do? What changes do they want? Let's talk about it. Let's compromise on it. Let's make it happen. They walked away from the table. They would not have the discussion. So come on. I mean, you're right that they don't get along. They cancel each other's legislation, and they won't even come to the table. And don't forget how Pelosi and everybody walked out of the meetings on our entire infrastructure for this country, which has not been taken care of because they would not come to the table.
Yeah, so my first barometer of trouble is when you have a government that becomes ineffective. So let's just put aside all the political rhetoric from the right and from the left, from conservatives, from liberals, from moderates, all the rhetoric, because that I'm so sick of the rhetoric. And I think from all sides, I'm sick of it. And I think that the general public is sick of it as well. But my point is, And the salient point for people that I hope will read the article is, currently our government is completely ineffective. And when you have that, you have no government which is moving the country forward for the benefit of the United States. You know, let me mention my second barometer. And that is, and I think that's going to strike a nerve with a lot of people, and that is that our government's inability to destroy the deep state and prosecute its actors. Look at what has happened even before President Trump was elected to office. The deep state was at work developing, you know, the false narratives of the Steele dossier. And I mean, you had, you know, deep actors like Comey, like Clapper, like Brennan, like Obama, you know, all of these people in the highest levels of government plotting conspiratorially against the president of the United States before he's even the president. And then, you know, you mentioned the Pelosi's and Schumer's and Adam Schiff's that moved that false narrative along and prosecuted this president to impeachment for the first 3 years of his administration. And now they're doing it today. They got some new Russian hoax that's going on right now.
And they're trying to impeach William Barr. And if you read about why they're trying to impeach William Barr, the reasons are just patently ridiculous. But it's that they stay on the offensive all the time so that the administration has to get on the defensive and nothing can get moved forward. This is the worst kind of government. Why America is standing for it, I don't know. I'm hoping that when the election comes, that they vote President Trump back in and they don't let this stand, what these Democrats are doing right now to the people of America and the country.
Well, you know, and I completely agree with you. You know, the next barometer, I think, feeds into the one that we just talked about right now, and that is our government's inability to destroy what I referred to as a two-tiered system of justice. And that's where you have the rich ruling elite getting away with, you know, so many federal crimes, so many violations of federal law. And we can talk about, you know, Hillary Clinton. I mean, you name it, Jim Comey,
Joe Biden.
I mean, these people, they are not being prosecuted. Meanwhile, average citizens and then lower people of power are getting prosecuted left and right. And it's just, and you know, look at General Flynn. Okay, look at that in comparison to Hillary Clinton. Compare and contrast those two models, and you see what we're talking about. And it's so depressing for someone like me that has lived and breathed law enforcement and the rule of law his entire life. And I'm no different than millions of other Americans. They're saying, when are we going to see some justice? And so when President Trump fires Jeff Sessions, who was just a worthless attorney general, and he brings in a previous attorney general, Bill Barr, to run the Department of Justice, and Bill Barr starts bringing in independent investigators and initiating new investigations, the left does everything they can to try to impeach Bill Barr. So this is going to go on and on and on and on. And I don't see any resolution. I continue to see a two-tiered system of justice where justice is not blind. Justice is partial.
Yes. And if we kowtow to all of this and the country says, well, you know, there's just too many problems with President Trump, we're going to elect Biden. I mean, think about what you have had with Biden in all of the his numerous years, too many years in government.
Hasn't he been in government for over 40 years?
Yeah.
It's just absolutely ridiculous.
Nothing good has he done. He's gotten himself very rich from China and the like. He's gotten his family very rich from China and Ukraine. And he was instrumental with Obama in creating this whole race narrative that we are currently in right now.
Right.
So, I mean, how do we reward that and think that it's President Trump's fault?
Yeah, and let's talk about, you know, Black Lives Matter for a minute, because, you know, we mentioned that earlier, you know, in our discussion, and you know, I wrote my popular book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. You know, people can get it at drronmartinelli.com, drronmartinelli.com. And that book is flying off the shelves because it gives the true, accurate, factual, non-opinion, you know, history of the Black Lives Matter movement. And the reviews on this book, I'm so blessed because, you know, 98% of all these reviews are just phenomenal. And I'm so appreciative of that. I don't make any opinions in this book. I put it out there of what it is. And the Black Lives Matter founders have never argued the book because it's replete with quotes from them, right? Okay? And it is absolutely an avowed militant Marxist revolutionary black separatist organization.
Yeah, people think that this is just about racism and that white America is racist against blacks. That is not what this is about. they need to read the book because it's too long of a discussion, really, but again, we're being kind of misled down the wrong road.
Right. And you know, let me say something just to clarify what's in the book. And there's so many chapters in this book that discuss this. But as I said in summarizing in one of the final chapters of the book, look, I'm not saying that every single person that supports or associates with the Black Lives Matter movement is a militant Marxist revolutionary. There are a lot of people that resonate with what they believe the Black Lives Matter message is, but, and those people have good intentions, but they don't know the organization. They don't know what the founding members and the leaders of the Black Lives Matter movement are really all about. And just the other day, and I can't remember his name, but he was interviewed by Fox News in, I believe it was in New York City. And he said, if we can't change it, we're going to burn it down.
Right.
And that means the American system of government and infrastructure, we are going to burn it down. That is what Black Lives Matter movement goals and objectives are. Why else would you want to destroy the rule of law and the protectors and enforcers of the rule of law, which are the police?
Well, your fifth point is about the restorative justice system.
Yeah, and what we're talking about here is what they believe, and actually President Trump has sort of bought into, is what they refer to as the restorative justice program. But that restorative justice program has many components that are bad, a couple of components that are good, but more importantly, a lot of components that are missing. And it goes back to, let's get rid of this two-tiered system of what is referred to as justice, where the rich ruling elite are treated one way and the common man is treated some way else. But then the other things that are horrible is things like zero bail, where they just release people time and time again. You see examples of restorative justice in California with Proposition 47 and Proposition 109 that were actually voted on by a beguiled public that was lied to, that sends out releases tens of thousands, at least in California, of felons and violent felons and predators back into the streets to re-victimize the public. And then when they do that, they're released with zero bail.
Right.
I mean, what's the point of this?
And the same thing in New York. And that's why you see the situation that we just saw with this man taking an elderly lady, knocking her down, choking her, and not running away with her purse.
Just walking away.
Just casually walking away and leaving her face down on the ground. Now, if he got caught, first of all, he's not going to get caught because we're defunding the police. But secondly, if he does get caught, he's just going to be released. He's going to do it again tomorrow. How does that help the citizens? The government's number one job, Ron, is to keep citizens safe. And they are failing on doing that. And these are the de Blasios, the
Cuomos.
All of these leaders in Milwaukee, in Seattle, in Portland, in Los Angeles are failing the public who pay their payroll, who pay their taxes, and they are lying to the public about the reasons that they're doing this, and they're lying to the public about the consequences of what they're doing.
What's going on with Black Lives Matter and the placating politicians? They're turning this into a racial issue. It's not a racial issue. It's a behavioral issue.
Yes.
And you can't try to sugarcoat it or to try to mitigate it by saying it's a racial issue. And, you know, a great example, and you brought up New York. Now that we have all these changes going on that were initiated by Bill de Blasio, we have a 342% increase in shootings in the city of New York. Can you imagine that? Just within a month, a 342% increase. And then in Chicago, what, last weekend, they shot 114 people and they murdered, over a score of people just in a weekend?
And that is a city that has rendered their police ineffective by their own rules. And this is the result. What do people expect? I've said this before, people are going to start arming themselves and defending themselves because they're going to feel like they have to. When you render the police department ineffective and impotent, somebody has to protect us. So we have to protect ourselves then.
And we have to have a common sense. If you're going to restore what you call restore justice, then we have to have some common sense legislation and some common sense court rulings that makes justice blind again and serves all the people. And we cannot ignore the deaths and the injuries to tens of thousands of American citizens because we are on some sort of, you know, racial justice and fake, social justice, you know, warrior campaign. So I want to keep this discussion open in regards to the barometers of trouble in the United States when we come back.
AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Well, as we celebrate our 4-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. We are a grassroots movement of patriots, blogs, podcast, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
You know, Ron, at our firearm school, because I pretty much handle seeing everybody that registers, and although I don't handle everything, but I do check that out every day, the registrations are through the roof. People are buying guns and ammo and arming themselves and getting trained on how to use weapons. And this is a sign of all this that is going on, is people are looking at protecting themselves.
I completely agree. I don't think I've ever seen our Street Safe Defense firearms program and concealed carry permit program with greater numbers than they are right now. And, you know, I get to teach every once in a while out there. And of course, I'm talking with people that come to take the course. And of course, I'm asking, you know, why are you taking the course and this? And people are scared. I will tell you the number one reason that people are signing up for the Street Safe Defense, concealed carry weapons and firearms training programs is because of their concerns for personal safety, because they just don't believe that the police are going to help them. Number one, they don't believe that the police are going to reach them on time, and they don't believe that if the police come out, they're going to be effective whatsoever. And that, as a retired police officer, that's a pretty scary thing for me to hear from them.
Yes, and it's a scary thing to be a citizen and feel that way, okay? They feel helpless. So they need to be able to help themselves, because they can see, people see what's happening, Ron. the problem is, it's, you're right, it's a silent majority. And the fact that we are a silent majority and standing by and allowing this to happen just blows me away.
Did you see the situation that just happened a couple of days ago in Chicago? So Black Lives Matter is going through an exclusive white neighborhood. I'm sure there's other people of color there, but they called it a white neighborhood. And it's exclusive. We're talking, you know, multi-million dollar residences and properties. And they are trespassing through a particular private property. And the man...
Well, they broke a gate down to even get into that development. They broke the gate.
And the man and a woman came out, a husband and wife, came out, the man holding an AR-15 and the wife holding a semi-automatic pistol on their private property to keep the looters and people like that away, because those people were extremely threatening and committing a predicate crime of trespassing in a gated community. And now the prosecutor for the city of Chicago is prosecuting both the man and the woman for standing on their own property. And I believe, you know, stand your ground applies in the state of Illinois. And they are just simply protecting their property, because guess what? The police aren't there. The police didn't respond.
They pointed guns at the crowd, and that caused kind of a ruckus. But I agree with you. I mean, if you see a group, a mob, coming towards your home, yes, and I would be afraid. I mean, they could start your house on fire with you in it. They can, you know, gang up on you. Yes, this is just, again, we are topsy-turvy. We are prosecuting the innocent, and we are letting the guilty free.
Let me go back in, because you said something that sparked something in me as a compare and contrast. And I don't remember what city, maybe you remember, but they actually, the protesters, the violent protesters, actually set fire to one of the police precinct houses with the police officers inside.
Was that Portland?
I think it might have been Portland. And the other thing is that, going back to Seattle, they kicked the police. They abandoned the mayor ordered, you know, and I'm going to say it was the mayor, because I don't believe it was the chief of police. The chief of police serves at the will of the mayor. And of course, they're pointing fingers at each other and saying, well, I don't know who made the order. Well, we all know it was the mayor. Ordered the police to order her officers to abandon the precinct house that was in CHOP. So then they not only abandoned that substation with all of its weaponry and all of its tactical gear and records, I mean, you can imagine, but they kicked them out of the CHOP. So imagine how emasculated and how disempowered the police are when they had to respond to that shooting where that person was murdered and the other person was seriously injured, and they could not go in to help people or secure the crime scene because the unruly mob of anarchists, armed anarchists, would not let them enter the CHOP. All right. Okay. And then they had to beg the armed citizens to let them go in and escort them in or out. I can't think of anything more dejecting, more disempowering, more emasculating than that. So that's why people are going to Street Safe Defense and all sorts of other firearms training schools around the country and applying in huge numbers for concealed carry permits.
Well, and here's another situation where police were going to a protest, and the officer was in his car, and they surrounded his vehicle, and he's in his vehicle, and they started climbing on top of his vehicle, jumping on his vehicle. And so he, fearing for his life, accelerated to, after telling them numerous times to get off, accelerated, and somebody rolled off his vehicle. So they want to prosecute the officer because somebody who was jumping on his vehicle rolled off the vehicle. What is he supposed to do? Sit there and wait to be massacred right there? I mean, what do you expect from these police officers? On a reverse situation, a citizen was driving in Virginia through a crowd, and they attacked her vehicle, and she had a baby in the car.
Well, let me say one thing. Yeah. She wasn't driving through a crowd. She was simply driving down the street, and the crowd approached her.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
And they were yelling at her. They were cursing at her. They were saying that they were going to get her and her baby, and tried to open the car doors, and jumped on top of her car, and she was terrified, and she called the police, and the police would not send anybody out because the mayor had approved the protest. And I mean, can you imagine? You are just a citizen with your baby driving down a street, and you get approached by this mob, and they're threatening you, and nobody will come. This is what we're asking for in this country. Is this what you want?
You know, I saw that video, and if that woman would have hit one of those protesters in attempting to escape while they were, and they were absolutely trying to forcibly enter that woman's car and eject her. Okay, that's a predicate felony when they're doing that. And what's interesting about vehicles and residences in our different stand your ground state laws is a vehicle and a residence is considered to be a special environment, where if she would have been armed with a gun and she would have shot and killed one of those protesters, she would have been well within her rights under the law to have done that. If she would have struck one of those protesters in her attempt to escape to save herself and her baby's life, I damn well know they would have prosecuted her for that.
Yes, they would have. So again, we're in a topsy-turvy world, and people need to think about, is this what you want? Is this how you want to live? Because this is what we are now getting.
Look how many elections, including our national election for the presidency, going back to, you know, 2016, look how many of those elections hang by the threads, right?
Oh, yeah.
Of just a couple of percentage points. And we can look at that, and that's our federal elections, you know, the words, the presidency, the Senate, the Congress. Just look at that. Look how many of these elections go down to the wire. And you classically see that percentage, which really bothers me. And then the second percentage, Lynn, that scares me and bothers me, is that the people that don't engage whatsoever, they can't make up their mind. You know, remember, they'll say X amount of percentage in favor of this and this amount of percentage and that. And then, you know, like, 17 to 20% never even have an opinion. How can you not have an opinion on some of the most pressing issues that we're facing in this nation?
I think because people are overwhelmed with the amount of bad news, they're sick of hearing it. I think that they tune out, and I think that they don't honestly even know what the issues are. And I'll give you an example. In California, one of the things that really, you know, saved Californians a lot was that Proposition 13 with the taxes.
Oh, going back to 1979, I believe.
Right. So with property taxes. And they have been trying to get those property taxes back in a variety of different ways. And the same thing with, you know, things that they put on the ballot in California are never straightforward. They're always misleading. The commercials are misleading. So people vote for things that they don't actually know what they're going to get, because they don't study and read and understand what these things really mean. Well, now they have a new proposal that's going to be on the ballot to take away Proposition 13, but it's called something completely different, and it reads as something completely different, and nobody's going to understand it.
And I'm glad you brought this up, and the Attorney General of California is the guy that rewrites all of these things. And so instead of saying what it really is, okay, so what is it really? It is the repealing of Prop 13 that where you can't tax a property owner any more than 1% of the original purchase price of the residence. Okay, so you buy a residence in California. Since 1979, you buy a residence in California, and let's just say that the residence, you know, now costs like $1 million. All right, well, you can't charge them more than 1% of $1 million for the rest of the time that they own that property. And what this movement which is headed by the Attorney General of the state of California, is repealing that. And instead of saying, honestly, this is a repeal of Proposition 13 and your property taxes, they say, well, this is a school.
Always use the school.
Schools. Get the schools in there. Yeah. So this is a school bond or a school board thing, or, you know, revitalizing our public school system. Okay. I don't get the right, you know, title of it, but that's what it is. It's rewritten very falsely to convince people that they're not voting to repeal Proposition 13. They're voting to enhance what we spend in the public school system in the state of California.
And they do this every single election. Since I was a kid in California, every election is about more money for the school districts. Where does all this money go? This is just such baloney. And people in California need to know that they are being baited and switched.
Well, how many times do the people in California need to get screwed over? Because do you remember many, many years ago when we brought gambling into the state of California, and I forget what the proposition was, but it was for the lottery, the California lottery.
Right. Yeah.
And they said that all the money in the California lottery is going to go to fund our public school system. And everybody voted for it. They voted for it for two reasons. Now, I'm not a gambler, but I voted for it because I said, okay, well, this is going to reduce my you know, school bonds, you know, that I have to pay, because we had, you know, four kids going to school, for God's sakes. And so we're saying, okay, well, this is a good thing for us because we won't have to, you know, have to pay for school bonds again. All the gambling money is going to take care of it. And there was plenty of gambling money. Where do you think that money went?
Well, what they did is again, a bait and switch.
They did.
So they take that money and they give it to the school, but then they take the equivalent or more money out of the budget so that really you gain nothing. And they use the things in the budget for something else. So, I mean, again, a bait and switch. California is notorious for that. But the last thing on your list is the one that is really, really interesting, which is that you're predicting that we have mass exoduses from liberal and politically oppressive cities and states for safer and more welcoming cities and states. And by the way, we are a perfect example of just that.
No, that's exactly right. You know, we escaped from the oppressive state of California, you know, for so many reasons. And anybody that knows about California or lives in California or has lived in California knows exactly why we got out of there. It was oppressive and repressive. And we just had enough of it. And lucky for us, because we both continue to have businesses in California as well as in Texas, we said, hey, I think we can do this. And the truth be told, we should have done it 10 years before. And now to help law enforcement officers and first responders and their families, we have a brand new free service called escapetotexas.net. So people can follow us. But my point is, people are going, because of everything that you and I have discussed, people are going to leave these political zones. That's what I refer to them in my article as. And they're going to move en masse to places that are more welcoming and less oppressive. And I think we're going to see this.
Yeah, but I hope they don't take their politics with them a lot of times.
Well, that's
so
what's happened.
You have the areas. You have Milwaukee. You have New York. You have Portland. You have Seattle. You have the city of Los Angeles. You have a lot of Northern California, San Francisco, Oakland. You have these areas that people are just sick of being in because of all of the problems, because of the total and absolute mismanagement by the politicians and the city managers in those cities. And you have to also take into account, I blame the voters. When you have 70% of the population voting for Ocasio-Cortez again, I'm incredulous. I don't even know what to say, that you take a person like this who is nothing but incendiary, who does nothing else but, you know, social media type of politicking and really does nothing else. And this is who you put in office after she took all of those jobs from their area.
25,000 potential jobs from Amazon.
And you re-vote for her, you get what you deserve.
I want to bring up something again. Rather talking about liberal people, I want to kind of hang out to dry that 20-25% of conservatives and Republicans that are not voting. And those people who don't take the time to exercise their this so important constitutional right of the ability to vote, and they are not reading the pamphlets that come with the ballots. You need to read the pamphlets.
The pros and cons. You need to read the whole thing, not the wording of the legislation, because it's very misleading.
It's always vague
unless
and ambiguous.
You're in Texas, it's extremely straightforward.
Yeah, and that was interesting that we found, but that's a whole nother conversation.
But yeah, they need to read thoroughly.
Right. Read the pamphlets and, for God's sakes, engage and educate yourself.
Yeah. So the article is great, and I hope that you that people will read it. And you know what? There's another article on America Out Loud that I love. It's called Treasonous Americans in Plain Sight. It's by a man by the name of IQ Al-Rasuli. He is a terrorism analyst. It's an excellent article as well. But I also want to say one more thing. Just off the record here as far as what we're talking about.
Well, we're on the record, for God's sakes, okay? Of course we're on the record here.
Our niece posted on Facebook about sending her little girl to preschool. And she asked all the parents that she knows on Facebook, you know, I don't know what to do because our school is giving us an option of full-time school or 50-50 in-home school or all in-home. What does everybody else think? 100% of her responses said, we're going to do 100% in school, you know, at school. And I thought that was really interesting. It wasn't what I expected, but I was glad to see it.
Well, I think the American Association of Pediatric Medicine just came out yesterday. And they said, hey, it's our recommendation that we get these kids back in school. And then for not only for educational purposes, but for psychological purposes. But hey, I just want to remind people that they can find a lot of fantastic articles on AmericaOutloud.com. And then if you missed Dr. Ron and Linda on Talking While Married, don't forget that we are also available 24/7 on podcast, and you can get America Out Loud right on any smart device, including your cell phone, Linda, and we can and Android. So, you know, don't forget, just look for the America Out Loud app at AmericaOutloud.com.
And or they can listen on iHeartRadio if they have iHeartRadio, or on their Apple app or their Android app. And it's also available on Alexa. For podcasts, you can also get us on Spotify, Stitcher, again, iHeart, and TuneIn. So there's lots of ways to listen to Dr. Ron and Linda.
Yeah, and one more plug for my popular book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, at drronmartinelli.com.
And you can also get it in the America Out Loud bookstore. Just go right to AmericaOutloud.com. You can go in the bookstore and get Dr. Ron's book.
Yeah, and if you don't see the book because they flash up every once in a while and they recirculate, then just type in on the search engine, Dr. Ron Martinelli or Ron Martinelli or Black Lives Matter, and that book is going to pop up. You click the link and you can order right there at the bookstore.
And one more thing about America Out Loud. There are so many great articles there right now and great shows. People should go there and listen and look. It's an alternative to the mainstream media, and it just gives you the truth, and it's all about America.
Sounds great.